The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he is before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We read from the beginning of John's Gospel, and there's much speculation on exactly how this all came together. It seems from Acts of the Apostles that when they preached about Jesus, they began with John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is the beginning of their preaching. And, of course, in Mark's gospel, that's how it works out. Matthew and Luke have the same beginning as Mark. However, they add a chapter or two with what we just went through with the Christmas stories, with the birth narratives and all that. But as you look at those stories, they don't enter very deeply into the rest of the gospel. Like, if they weren't there, you wouldn't miss them. It's not like some key element. What John seems to have, and this is really speculation, but what John seems to have here is the beginning of the gospel was there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the reason they think that is because that's a classic beginning in the Bible. If you look through the Jewish Bible, there was a man is a way you start it all up. And then somehow, at some point, what was mixed in is what's this hymn? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The themes that run through John's gospel are all present here. And it's one of those things that the more you read John, the more you see it. The more you read John, you go, oh, okay, this is all in chapter 1. So what is the theme that we're confronted with here? And look, they write books, 800 pages on this, so we're just going to skim over the top. The first thing is the obviously direct reference to Genesis. In the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, in the beginning was the Word. What's changed here is in Genesis, it's a verb. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. And in John, it's a noun. It's the Word itself. So where does this idea of the Word come from? Well, the rest of the Jewish Bible. In the Jewish Bible, the Word of God comes to people. The Word of God is like a person. In fact, in several cases, it says, the Word of the God came to me saying. So the Word of God is speaking. And it's primarily the prophets. However, I know for sure Abraham had that happen. The Word of the Lord came to Abraham. In other places as well. Now, what's interesting about this is it answers the question. And timing's, it's amazing how time works. So I'm driving in yesterday evening down Peterson Lake, and there's whatever I was listening to. It was a Muslim guy asking a question of a Christian. And he basically said, how can the immortal God, the eternal God, be immortal in finite time and space? Now, I had forgotten what I was preaching on, so what I immediately thought is, well, the Word. They believe the Quran's the Word of God, right? Well, you maybe don't know this. Well, yes, they do. They think it's the Word of God. Well, the Quran came from a specific place and time. So how could the Word of God come from a specific place and time? How can we say, I had an experience of God who's eternal and give the date? And many of you have that, right? In your life of horrible deeds, one day, there's somebody in here who said, yeah, and one day I woke up and I heard a voice that just said, you need to quit doing this nonsense and get your life straightened out. Many people have the experience of hearing the voice. Hearing the voice. And it's in a time, in a space, in a place, and it's something you can say, it happened 6 years ago, it happened 8 years ago. So God, eternal God, does compress himself into time and space, and it's primarily through the Word, which is also his self-revelation. It's his self-revelation. So let's pause to think about a word. I am not my words. There's so much about me that you don't know, and there's so much about you I don't know. There's so much about us no one knows, including our mothers and our spouses and our children. There's so much about us that's hidden away, never to be seen by anyone. So I am not simply my words, yet all my words are me. Every word I speak is me. And in the divine realm, that's what we're talking about. When we hear the recorded voice of a loved one, it impacts us in a way that we say, that's my mom. You know, it's stunning. I remember once watching a video, or not a video, movies. Remember those movies? And like, we're sitting with someone, and their parent, their like mother was on, they had never seen this movie. And it was from like, well, in those days, it was like 20 years before. It was in the 60s. And he was just blown away because he saw his mom, right? So it's God's self-revelation is present to us. Another thing that impacts how John is expressing who Jesus is reflection on wisdom literature. And in the wisdom literature and prophets and the wisdom of Solomon, there's these sections where it talks about how God's wisdom is, it's not God's wisdom like he's wise, it's like this person. At one point it says who plays in front of him. And who orders everything. So we're called to understand that Jesus is what's been talked about throughout the Bible as God's word, his wisdom, his creative activity. The second thing that we see in John that I want to talk about is the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, dwelt among us, for us, doesn't really ring any bells. But in the Greek, skenu would have rang bells because it literally means to tent or tabernacle. Most of us live in houses. In fact, I'll go so far as to say, I bet everyone in here lives in a house. None of us moves from place to place carrying our tent around. And so the idea of tents is so foreign to us, we don't think about it. But in their language, it goes back to the time in the desert where in the tabernacle, in the tent, God was in the middle of the people. So what John is making very clear reference to that you and I don't pick up unless you have someone like me study it and then tell you, is that Jesus is the presence of God the same way God was present in Exodus. That's what's taking place here. That he is the tabernacle, God's presence in the midst. And in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Words. We call them the Ten Commandments. We're Westerners, Rome was law. So in our culture, we say the Ten Commandments. That's not what it says. It says the Ten Words. Decalogue, Logos, Decalogue. So the Ten Words is God's guiding principle. Now, Paul kind of alludes to this, and I'm just going to briefly talk about the law. In Western civilization, based in large part on the Reformation, we have this disdain for the law, right? We're going to be freed from the law. Now, did any of you have family gatherings over Christmas? Yeah. Did any family ever hear this? Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Anybody have heard that? We talk about law like it's a horrible thing. The reality, there's one thing worse than law. Being told, just do whatever you want. And just guess. Like the people who make me maddest are the people who want me to guess what they want from me. And the only input you get from him is, nah, nah. You know, what do you want to eat? I'll go get anything. I'm the dad. I'll go get anything. Well, I don't know. All right, how about Chinese? Nah, I don't want Chinese. I don't care. How about Mexican? I don't care. I don't want Mexican. All right, how about the turkey leg? I don't want a turkey leg. And they just tell you no, right? The Decalogue, the Word of God, gives us ideas of what he wants. So it's a great blessing. The Jews thought it was a great blessing. However, there's something more, and that's what John alludes to when he says, in Jesus, we become children of God. So it's more than just knowing what to do, it's also a being. Because as much as I like pleasing others, as much as you like making people happy, there's also a desire to be connected to them. And that's what John fundamentally is telling us Jesus has done. The Word can dwell in us and make us one with God. So what do we do with this? I mean, last Sundays I have this huge thing for you to do. Basically, here's what I want you to reflect on. We've talked about the kingdom of God. And I've done that for weeks. We talk about how we're saved from our sins by the cross. And Ash Wednesday is like in 6 weeks. I mean, we don't have any epiphany. We're going right back into slogging. It's on Valentine's Day, so the good news is we don't have to figure out what to do on Valentine's Day. We're just going to fast and pray. So thank you, Jesus, for that one. But those two, the kingdom of God and the passion, death, those are two huge things. But what we have today is the thing I talk about frequently, that whole idea of theosis, of connecting with God, being one with God. And so what I leave you with today is, if this is true, if this is true, what we read this morning, if we're truly going to become children of God through our relationship with Jesus, how then, today, should we live?